And let's move on to our first guest we have on the line. Jacob Adler is Director of Policy for New York State for the Orthodox Union. And not only was covering New York State, but yesterday he was in D.C. So he was with the upper echelons of the federal government. And I wanted to tell us about that and then transition to crunch time in Albany, which is the end of the session. The June month is traditionally when a lot of things happen. And this is a particularly interesting year, given all that we've talked about with regard to the leadership changes in both the Assembly and the State Senate. Jacob Adler, welcome back to Spin Class.
Thanks so much for having me on again.
So, Jake, first, let's just talk about the OU leadership mission that took place on Wednesday, June 3rd, which was yesterday, to Washington, D.C. Do you come back to New York with any fresh perspective on the federal government or on the Obama administration or on any other issues?
You know, it was a great day yesterday. We had a very large crowd. And, you know, before we get into what was said from the policymaker's perspective, I just want to say the leadership of the OU really mobilized for this mission. And I want to put a shout out to Nathan Diamond, who's the executive director of the OU Advocacy Center, and Maureen Whitlack, who's the director of state political affairs, and Miriam Harmer, who's our congressional director. They all did a fantastic job putting the leadership of the Jewish community really across the country into conversation with Senate and congressional and even White House leadership. And it was really, really inspiring to see that many people talking to that many, you know, people in leadership in Congress and in the White House. And beyond even just the policy, the fact that the Jewish community mobilized that significantly yesterday in the middle of a work week to go down to Washington and talk about issues that are of importance is really, really inspiring for me when I come back to Albany and come back to the city to do my work on the state level. So that was really, really great to see.
Folks, Jake has taught us an important lesson there, and it is that you always thank the bosses. You know, we have the concept of Judaism, of posting before Sanya. Jake has thanked the bosses first and foremost, and I think great political job, very diplomatic, Jake.
I appreciate that.
Go ahead. So you were expounding even further on the mission.
Yeah, so you know, we met with 30 or 35 members of the House, and probably 20 or so senators joined us as well, and gave their perspectives, really focused on three issues. Number one, the Iran deal. Number two, the Iran deal or lack thereof, I should say. Number two, we were lobbying for increases to the Homeland Security grants, which many of our schools and schools rely on to secure their campuses. And number three, there's a new bill that we've been working on with some coalition partners to allow nonprofits to include synagogues and churches and mosques to have access to energy efficiency programs on a federal level, which would save, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year if it goes through. It was very, very interesting to hear from, you know, on the Iran deal. I'd say, if we can just take it point by point, on the Iran deal, I think the consensus is from left and right, regardless of party and regardless of House even, that there's no way to allow a bad deal to happen here. The people who are more in the camp of President Obama and pushing for a deal, even their perspective seems to have come around a little bit more towards the, we have to make sure that if there is a deal, it is verifiable and that there are checks in place to make sure this actually works. And of course, you have the other side of the perspective, which is no deal is better than a bad deal. And I think not everyone is going to say no deal is better than a bad deal, but the implication is that we can't let a bad deal happen. So it seems to be the same thing, even if you're not going to put that into words because it's a political hot button or a political, you know, slogan for some parties and not the other. Very, very good to hear that from, I mean, we heard from Cory Booker, we heard from Rob Portman, we heard from everyone yesterday. And on Iran, it was pretty much one voice that there's no room to allow a bad deal to happen, and there's really should be no daylight between us and Israel.
Well, it's easy to say, and it's certainly easy for members of Congress to say, but how does that trickle up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
You know, we actually met yesterday in the old executive office building with the president, chief of staff. He indicated the same thing, that it would be bad public policy to allow a bad deal to happen. And it would be bad for the United States, and it would be certainly bad for Israel. And they indicated to us that they're committed to not letting that happen.
Well, does anybody ever say that we welcome a bad deal? Even if it was, in theory, a bad deal, they would call it a good deal.
No, no, you know, that's of course true. I don't want to get, I'm not an Iran specialist, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of talking about the specific clauses that could or could not be in there. It seems to me on a more global level, everyone is committed to the same idea. They may disagree about how to get there, and that's really the job of the Jewish community, to guide them into what they should be thinking and how they should be acting.
Fair enough. Okay. Any specific highlights? How many people from the New York metropolitan area made the trek down to D.C.?
I'd say from New York and New Jersey, there's probably about 60 or 70.
Nice crowd.
You know, that included the CEO, the executive vice president of the OU, Alan Fagan, Menachem Gnack, who's the CEO of OU Kosher, and the leadership and the boards of the OU and of many shuls and schools as well. From Long Island to upstate to Teaneck and southern New Jersey, everywhere, they were really all there. They all came out, and it was a very good show.
Excellent. So, Jake, these days you spend most of your time in Albany. And I think that it's fair to say there's a lot of action going on, and we're going to be speaking in a couple minutes to a member of the assembly who's going to fill us hopefully in on some of the insider, some other insider perspective. But as an advocate, June is really the time where things happen, or on the converse, they don't happen. So what's going on? What are the things of issues? What's high on your agenda? I know the education investment tax credit is high on the agenda. And what are the prospects? A lot of people have been active on this specific issue. What are the prospects? The governor has really taken Governor Cuomo has really taken it on to kind of push this forward to the extent possible. But it still seems that the assembly, despite the fact that there may be enough votes to pass it, in the assembly, the assembly speaker, once again, it's a different speaker, is standing in the way.
Right, and you know, it's a different speaker, and it sounds a lot like the last speaker on some of these issues. But that's I'll leave that to last. In terms of June, today's June 4th, excuse me. We have about 2 weeks left in session. June 17th is the last day. It's crunch time, and it's crunch time for us, and it's crunch time, frankly, for the teachers' unions on the other side of the issue. So everyone's kind of up there and talking to the same people and trying to finish off session with a win. You know, I look at this session. This was a very interesting year in Albany. We started out thinking that everything was going to be normal, status quo, and then obviously the speaker changed in the assembly. And then we had a budget, and we thought the budget was going to have the education tax credit, and many people were very upset, when myself included, when it wasn't in the budget, even though we received tremendous increases in cap and MSR and other funds that the schools do receive. And then, you know, we kind of trailed off and came back after Pesach, and some in the advocacy world and some people on the street were wondering, okay, now what do we do? And, you know, thank God, the OU and the UJA and our coalition partners really continued to push on this tax credit bill. And you saw that in early May, as you mentioned, the governor rolled out a new version of the bill. And it kind of reinvigorated the communal focus on this bill. And now you have, I think the community at large is really firing on all cylinders here. If I'm not a betting man, and I certainly don't want to bet on Albany, because that's kind of like betting against yourself sometimes. But there, I think we are closer now than we've ever been, and I think it's just a matter of the community and the Catholic community and the non-public school community at large utilizing their relationships correctly. You know, now is not the time to say someone else will do it. Now is not the time to say, don't worry. So Jake's in Albany, or Jeff Webb from UJA is in Albany, or or whomever else, now's the time to call your person, call your assembly member, call your senator, and really, really push them.
And what if they say, well, we're supportive already? What if they say, yeah, we're on the bill. We want it to pass. What do you do then? Is there something to do then?
You
call the
speaker
directly?
We have a lot of in the community and outside the community who tell us, oh, I'm on the bill, I'm on the bill. It's not enough anymore to be on the bill. If you are in the assembly and you're on the bill, you need to speak up in conference, and you need to be as vocal and as loud and as aggressive in support of this bill as the opponents of this bill are. You know, there's a lot of hyperbole floating around from the teachers' unions and from the opponents of really people who oppose anything that our schools do or ask for, and they're making this bill seem like it is the absolute worst thing in the entire world. And if you have a vocal minority of members in either house who are saying, oh, this is a terrible bill, and they're saying that to their colleagues, that has to be countered twice as hard, twice as loud by our allies. And, you know, thankfully, we have very good assembly members here, and certainly in Far Rockaway, where I am, and in the five towns, Assembly Member Goldsetter, Assembly Member Kaminsky. They are very strong on this issue, and they are not people who are, I would say, Assemblymember Simanowicz in Queens as well. They are not people who are going to sit on their laurels and say, okay, we're working on it. They are pushing every single day, and I see them when I'm in Albany. I see them frequently, and I can see on their faces how hard they're working on this. And it's not like this is the one bill that they have to work on. You know, they have a whole district to represent, and they're working on all of these issues, and they are working on our issues so hard that we should really be thankful to them. That's, you know, if there's one message I could put out there today, it's that there's really two parts. But everyone needs to call the representatives, regardless of whether they support the bill or not. If they support the bill, they should thank them. Thank your assembly member for supporting the bill. And if they don't support the bill, you should ask them why they don't support the bill. But we should be comforted, if we can, by the fact that we do have friends in Albany, and those friends are working very hard on our behalf.
Yeah, and you have a great tool, I think, on OU Advocacy, correct, to go specifically to just press a button, essentially just email all your representatives immediately. And the truth is they actually respond when you do that. Tell us about
that.
I
don't have the link in front of me. I believe it's ouadvocacy.org/EIPC. Certainly, if you just search in the OU Advocacy website for education tax credit, it'll come right up. Basically, you click a button that says take action. You put your name and your address in, and you will generate a letter to your assembly member, your senator, and the governor. And it will go straight to them in their inbox.
And Do people read those?
Either thank you for supporting or please make sure the tax credit bill happens.
Do those get read? Do people actually read them? People might think, it's just a form letter. Why should I bother?
You know, I spoke to a friend of mine in the assembly who mentioned that they had received something along the lines of between our system and the Catholic Conference's system and the other alerts going out, they received something like 600 emails in one day about this. Which is a tremendous increase from years previous where we really didn't have people sending in emails and people were really kind of just waiting to see what happened. So they are reading them. You know, I think even if they don't read every one, because sometimes these messages come out as the same thing with a different name, the fact that they see 50, 60, 70 emails coming in a clip that says support the education tax credit, that alone is very effective for us.
So I got to ask, with all this advocacy for the fact that this is really a issue that cuts across many different lines, it benefits public and private schools, it benefits so many people out there, the education budget is so huge and this is such a small expenditure, in the end, it seems like good policy, it certainly seems to pass the constitutional test. Why is this not happening? Why is it so difficult to get something like this? We're only talking about, it's real money, $150 million of a state budget that's $150 billion. Why
Right.
is it so difficult to get this done? Why year after year do we see, we're so close, but it seems not to happen? I'm optimistic that it will happen this year, but why does it always, we always seem to feel that there is this intractable opposition? Who are the opponents? Aside from the teachers union, I'm talking about within the legislature, who are the people standing in the way? And how do we make, how do we, because all politics is about pressure and different pressure points. How do we now, we talked about the supporters, how do we deal with the opponents?
Well, let's be clear. We can say aside from the teachers unions, but if NYSET, New York State United Teachers, and UFT were not the powerful juggernauts that they have established themselves over the last 40 or 50 years as being, there would be no opposition to this bill. As you said, it is good public policy. It passed the constitutional test, okay, and it is a fraction of a fraction of a percent of the overall. But without those teachers' unions and without the threat that the teachers' unions always put out to our assembly members and our senators that they will either primary them or they will send negative mail or they will do X, Y, or Z, without that threat, this bill would have passed already. So, you know, I don't want to let them off the hook. I think there can be no question about it. The UFT and the NYSET unions in this state do not want you to send your kid to yeshiva. They do not want you to have a choice in where you send your child, whether it's Catholic school or Muslim school or Jewish school. They don't want it. So, and they are going to do anything in their power to stop you from having that choice. Obviously, for us, for you and for me, Michael, it's not a choice. We're going to send our kids to yeshiva either way. And that they hate that.
So what you're saying, Jake, for a second, you're saying that the teacher union would prefer that all the yeshivas close down and that everybody would go to public school instead.
Yeah, you know, it's as ridiculous as that sounds, because it would probably cripple a fair amount of school districts. And I'm not advocating that. Chassid Shalom should never even countenance that idea, okay? But the teachers union looks at any dollar that is spent outside of the public education sector as a dollar spent against them and their members, which is, frankly, just absurd on a variety of levels, but not the least of which is that this money that would be put into the scholarship fund for the tax credit bill, whether it's under the Senate plan or the McCusick bill or the governor's new bill, that money is not money that's coming out of any public school budget. That money is money that would be, it's money in potential, if you would let me use that word.
That's fine.
It's money that hasn't even been into the tax rolls. So it's absurd to think that every dollar, it's not only are they saying every dollar of the education budget needs to go to our schools, they're saying every single dollar of revenue that the hardworking people and companies of this state generate in tax revenue has to go to our schools or you're an enemy of the public schools, which is absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah. Well, it's really unbelievable. And I should actually point out a Quinnipiac poll that came out this morning that voters, even amongst voters across the state, 55% to 40% support the tax credits. What would be called the tax credit for the rich, because there are two pieces for the tax credit. And my last question for you is just to explain that, and Democrats themselves, just among registered Democrats, 49% in favor, 46% opposed to that. So it's hard really for people to hang their hat on the fact that people don't support this as a giveaway. Because most New Yorkers see the fairness in this very clearly. 55 to 40% is a pretty significant number of any polling on any issue in New York. But tell us for a second, as we close this segment, Jake, what are the two pieces? And we're talking to Jake Adler from the Orthodox Union. What are the two pieces of the tax credit? Because there was the original one, which is a scholarship tax credit. Then Governor Cuomo added a new facet to it.
Yeah, so there was the original bill, which the Senate has repeatedly passed on their own, and the Assembly has been working on for the last few years. That was McCusick's bill. That bill was the scholarship tax credit, which in the Frum community we know as the EITC or the education tax credit. But that basic bill would allow corporations to give a certain percentage of their New York State tax liability to a scholarship fund to then give scholarships out to multiple schools for kids that need kids with whose families are under a certain income threshold who need scholarships to help them pay for tuition. Governor Cuomo now coupled into his new Parental Choice in Education Act, which he rolled out in May, he coupled a new tax credit, which was also a bill that was being played with or worked on, I should say, in the Assembly, which would be a direct tuition credit to the parents for sending their kids. So that would be for parents who are making $60,000 or less, $60,000 a year or less, they would get a $500 credit per child back on their taxes. Obviously, there's two segments in the community. There's people in the community who say, oh, my God, that's perfect for us, just depending on the sector. That's perfect. A lot of our parents fall into that income bracket. And then there's people who say, that's not going to help us. Well, what it is it's there are parents who fall into that income bracket, and although it's just $500, it's a start, number one. And number two, you know, it's essentially the state saying that we appreciate what you're doing and it's good public policy for us to help you, even if it's small. So, you know, the essential part of the bill still remains the scholarship tax credit. I think that's the more transformative part. But this new bill, which would help low-income families in the non-public school sector, is very encouraging as well. And hopefully, with 2 weeks left in session, hopefully we'll be able to pass the overall bill and we'll bring home tax credits for our schools.
I hope so. So everybody should do their part out there. And I actually want to just one piece of that that poll that I neglected to mention, which I think is pretty astounding, is the second piece, which is the $500 credit for people for low-income families. That piece, particularly in New York City, where there is some very significant opposition to it, voters support that 73% to 23% in New York City. Upstate, 60% to 37%. In the suburbs, 67% to 30%. Even amongst Democrats, 68% support that to 28% oppose that. That's really those are incredible numbers. More than two-thirds of voters are, by 2-to-1 margin, are supporting this education tax credit. So you know, it's really, the polling is really in favor. And Jake, you got some work cut out for you.
We sure do. But you know what it really shows you, though? That poll really clearly demonstrates that the people of the state of New York, okay, the people of the state of New York value non-public school education, and they value the hard work that the parents are putting in to put their kids in these schools. And really, it means that the teachers' unions are looking out for themselves at the expense of the majority of New Yorkers, and that's what we have to fight against.
Well, I'm shocked that anybody would be that parochial, to use the right term, in their view, and not really look at everybody instead of only looking out for themselves. That's a crazy idea in politics, but we'll have to talk about that more philosophically at a different time. Jake Adler, Director of Policy for New York State for the Orthodox Union, thanks for bringing up these very important updates here on Spin Class.
Thanks so much. Shabbat shalom.
You too, Jake.